Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, has their fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated BF Goodrich All-Terrain TA KO2. But did you know they sell other automotive products as well? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, just go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, hope you get there. TireRack.com, help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free roadhouse protection for 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, it's the way that tire buying should be. Welcome in. Welcome into the show. So let's go through the litany of things that have happened since the Lakers have lost. You know, Darvin Ham, I would guess, likely to be fired. I would guess. And LeBron James is going to be a free agent. Now, both of these things can, in fact, be true. Okay? Both of these things can, in fact, be true. Okay? The first thing that can be true is that LeBron James was offensively great last night. He doesn't move and cover as well defensively. And, you know, there are things that his body is not capable of, period. Like, no, Percy's not like a superhero, even though he was as close to a superhero as we've seen. But it's kind of hard to find fault with how well he played last night. And it's weird. Like, I talk about being a radical centrist, and most people think it as a political term. And in most ways it is. But the reality is I'm a radical centrist in life. And by that I mean, if you go back to 2012, 2013, when he was first playing with the Heat and trying to win a championship, I thought people were super unfair to him. And that, you know, did he create a super team? Yes. Did he leave his hometown team to create a super team to win a title? Sure. But, you know, I was listening to other sports radio shows, not Colin. I was listening, kind of scrolling through the dial, listening to other stuff today. And you heard people go, well, you know, people didn't like the Miami move. It's like, no, like, let's make sure we contextualize it the right way. They didn't like the way in which he handled the Miami thing. He didn't call Dan Gilbert to tell and give him the heads up. He did it in Greenwich, Connecticut to raise money for Greenwich, Connecticut Boys and Girls Club. I don't know if they needed it all that bad. The tough, hardcore streets of Greenwich, Connecticut. And I didn't care about the sideshow of the not one, not two, not three sort of thing, but people do. But like, look, he went down there. First time he was in the finals, the moment was probably a little bit too big. And let's also be honest, Mike Bibby's point guard wasn't good enough. And, you know, they made fun of Dirk after game one and they got their comeuppance after that. They lost in six games. He wasn't particularly good. He got super frustrated and they went out and got Ray Allen. And, you know, Rayon did, in fact, bail him out one of those years. But they won two titles, went to four NBA finals, and then he had an incredible comeback with the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Golden State Warriors. He's a great player. Great player. Inarguably all-time great. And he played well last night. But the post-game stuff, so he has a player option, which means he can choose to be a free agent, not choose to be a free agent. And here was what he said when he was asked about it last night.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Not going to answer that. Okay, now look, this is why you don't ask a yes-no question. Because if you say, what's the likelihood that this is your last game as a Laker, you still might not get the answer. But when you ask a yes-no, he just doesn't choose to answer. And I know that Shaq switched teams a million times, and I wouldn't have given Shaq a statue, to be completely honest with you. The problem is he won three straight NBA championships, right? But like Shaq ultimately playing for the Celtics, but leaving, going to the Heat, wanting more money. I don't know. Didn't feel great to me. But that also, that relationship, Shaq and Kobe at that point in time had come to a fissure point where they had to break up. It had to go their separate ways. So I look at it and I think to myself, huh, this is like a fascinating snapshot of things. You have LeBron James, after losing a series in which he competed his tail off, the Lakers competed their tail off. And if you said to me, hey, how close are the Lakers? I would say not particularly close. You know, not particularly close. The Lakers are not close to winning a championship. That's something that people are going to have to, they're just going to have to realize. The Lakers are not close to winning a championship. They're not close at all. At all. So, yes, LeBron has the right to declare and become a free agent. But what Laker fans were looking for last night, and I'm not a Laker fan, right, is the, I need 14 other dudes that want to get this thing done. I need a coach that knows how to get this thing done. And just a double down on being all in on the Lakers. Now, that can sound fake. That can sound premeditated. That can sound like a lot of things. But you know what it isn't? Okay? It isn't avoidance. It isn't, hey, I'm going to leverage this and get out of town. That kind of talk is the talk of Kobe Bryant. This is the lure of Kobe, the lure of Magic are so incredibly strong in Los Angeles, and the multiple titles are the reason why. Like, does that feel like a good look? And the answer is no, not really. You know, doesn't feel like a good look. Isn't a good look. Isn't a strong look at all in any sort of way. By the way, here's Darvin Ham after the game.
It's tough. I, my mind's all over the place right now, so that's a great question. But maybe at some point later on, I'll give you an answer. It's been a hell of a 2 years, though.
He was asked about his job status. I think sometime today or tomorrow he'll be fired. That'd be my guess. And Darvin is not a bad guy. And that doesn't mean he's the greatest guy in the world. I don't know him well enough. I just know that his style is very kind of seat of your pants and go by feel. And that's not really, doesn't really jibe with LeBron. And look, a lot of this LeBron, a lot of the stance that he's taking is just leverage, right? If he wants them to draft Bronny James, as has already been rumored, they're open to finding a way to drafting Bronny James. I'm sure that LeBron James will say, like, look, if we come back, I don't want D'Angelo Russell here. I probably don't want Darvin Ham here. And you can pick your, you can probably pick some of your teammates and pick your coach and pick who you definitely don't want as teammates. That's what leverage is. You get to pick certain things. The question to the Lakers is, at what point do they say no? At what point do they say, yeah, we can't do that? We have our own plans. You know, because he's a free agent, that means he signs a new contract. With a new contract, it's how many years is it going to be for? You know, is it a two-year deal? If it's a two-year deal, well then, hey, we're not going to draft Bronny this year. Why don't you have him go play for Duquesne and he comes next year? If it's a one-year deal, if LeBron really, really, really wants to play with more great players, take less money. He's allowed to. He won't, because LeBron is this strange kind of conflux of ego, pride, along with brilliance. So I'm sure he knows that's an easy answer, but he thinks that's a problem somebody else is going to have to solve. He's LeBron James. But the Nuggets are better, but the Lakers battle their asses off. Like, I can point out that LeBron is not perfect and still tell you, like, I think he has nothing to hang his head about how he played. I thought he was awesome. But after the game, when you're asked about it, even if you have leverage and you're going to use leverage, which he's clearly going to, what's the win in saying it publicly? And man, I have every intention to be back with the Lakers. And we're going to get this thing right. And I need 14 other dudes and coaches that want to get it right. And we got that. We're going to get it right. It can be, these problems can be solved. So, I don't know. Jay, you've been in this town a long time. Am I wrong to think that that answer is at least a portion of why Laker fans struggle to go all in on LeBron James being a Laker?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's what I thought, too. Like, he rarely ever considers the fans when he's answering questions or when he's doing anything publicly. It's about his business, how his future's going to be impacted. So, if I'm a diehard fan, and I've always been a Lakers fan, it's faded over the years, but if I'm a fan today, I'm like, is there any, like, consideration for us? Like, or are you just the, what is that military term for, like, employing military that we used the other day? The
mercenary.
Yeah, mercenary. It's just a mercenary for the last 7 years.
Yes.
There's no connectivity to the city.
Yes. I would agree with you. There's no connectivity to the city. He plays for the town. He plays. And really, this is what has happened in college sports. Right? There's been the trickle down where you play for a school, but because you only do it for a year, you don't really play. You're not all in on it. And the Laker thing is interesting because former Lakers are all around LA. You know, a lot of them, they throw on Spectrum Sports. Now, he doesn't need any of that stuff. But, like, I mean, Magic Johnson is likely a billionaire, and it's all because of what L.A. was able to do for him and what he was able to do in L.A.
By the way, something got in that guy's Cheerios this morning.
I saw that.
Or he was hacked, because he's making very pointed, critical comments about this team today. He's been on quite a surge.
Well, I just saw the one about load management, which I didn't think was accurate, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think he was accurate on that one. He says, you know, Laker Nation, we have a problem. All the good teams are in the West are young and talented. The Nuggets, T-Wolves, and Thunder. And the biggest elephant in the room is the Spurs. Who will Victor, with Victor Wembanyama? And then he goes on to say that the Lakers are getting older and they're not getting better.
Yes, the Lakers are getting older. No, they're not getting better. I'm like, look, I think Austin Reeves is super talented. I think Anthony Davis had a really good year and was healthy most of the year. I don't know what happened with his shoulder last night. And I thought they got as much out of LeBron James as you can get. After that, it's very hit or miss. Very hit or miss. But that's what happens with your roster when you go after guys. You know, when they went after Anthony Davis, when they went after Russell Westbrook, they depleted their roster to do so. Much like the Phoenix Suns, and the fallout has been much like the Phoenix Suns. Much like the Phoenix Suns. You know, it's like one of those things to where you're like, you want to say, hey, Lakers, why don't you just bite the bullet, let him walk, start over, you know, or trade him and get, but what do you get back in return for a guy who doesn't want to play for you anymore? You get something. You get a lot because it's LeBron. But this is your chance. What is more likely to happen if you add another piece? To get back to where you are in the playoffs, to get further along in the playoffs, right? Or what's more likely to happen if you trade LeBron James and get a bunch of... The problem with LeBron is there's the tight Anthony Davis. They're super tight. They share the same agent. The likelihood is that AD can shut down on you. They're not trading LeBron James. I think all of this is just for show. I know he'll be back with the Lakers, but the real challenge is could somebody convince LeBron James to take less money in order to make sure he has better surrounding talent? And the answer to this point has been nope. That has not been the way LeBron's done business. LeBron has done business as, I'm going to get what I need, and you figure out the rest. You figure out the rest.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Theodore Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Thoroughbred racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to keep athletes safe. Learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. John Middlecoff in a moment, but there's apparently going to be a Tom Brady roast, right? The greatest roast of all time is what they're calling it. And, you know, it's like you got some former teammates like, oh, locker room humor, huh? Huh? Has anybody actually seen these roasts? It's like we're commenting on roasts. Like, I've watched all of them. They're great. The writing in it is spectacular. But, yeah, Tom Brady, like the idea that Tom Brady is going to take full frontal assault from some of these things is kind of comical. kind of comical. John Middlecoff joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. NFL analyst, host of Three and Out podcast on the Volume Podcast Network. John, first, like the idea that they're going to crush Tom Brady is silly, right?
Did I miss the story? Well, what happened?
Nothing. They're just going to have the greatest roast of all time, and people are talking about, you know, the fact he's going to have.
You know what's funny is I was flipping on Netflix, and I saw that. And we're laying in bed, and I'm like, she's like, we want to watch this? I'm like, well, I don't even, is this, how? What is going on here? You know, it's one of those things, the roast got big, whatever, a decade ago. I think this one is destined to, I think you'd be better off doing Belichick. You know, there's more negative stuff to say.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm sure there's stuff you can make up. Plus, it's comedy writers. They can figure it out, you know.
Is he doing a big – is Tom trying to do like a rebrand
yes.
right now?
He's been doing a rebrand, I think, since he left New England.
But for what? Like, we all know him, like him. He's got – when he left New England, everything was positive. Like, he's a high-character guy. He's got a lot of friends, teammates like him. Like, what does he need to rebrand?
I think when he was in New England, he was kind of hated. You know, they were all kind of hated, and he didn't like that.
I would have – I understand that when you're in, like, the bubble of the Patriots. But I think the natural transition to going to Tampa, and especially now, whatever, we're 2024, almost in May, I think we all agree Tom seems like a pretty good guy, right?
It sure feels that way. Let's get to let's recap the NFL draft. Most surprising thing in the draft was what?
I mean, it has to be the quarterback. I don't know. I haven't heard your take on it, but – you know, in the NFL, this is not baseball, right? Every team has the same amount of money and the same amount of draft picks. You just get to choose how you use it, right? The reason that the Browns don't have a first-round pick is because they trade for Watson. They give them all that money. Some teams have multiple first-round picks. When you invest $100-plus million in an older quarterback, which, let's face it, if Cousins had been healthy and just had a good year and the Vikings made the playoffs again, it would have been a no-brainer. But it is a little risky coming off an Achilles. But then you have the eighth pick. Like, you knew you had the eighth pick January 1st, basically, because you didn't make the playoffs. So you had 2.5 months before free agency to know you loved, or I mean, leading into free agency to know you loved Penix. And you weren't like the Vikings or, you know, the Raiders. Like, you were pretty high. And if worst case scenario, you could have got to 8-4 pretty easy because it ensured that the Cardinals were going to get Harrison or Rome, two of the guys they wanted, they got Harrison. But to invest in a quarterback, like the eighth pick doesn't make Purdy money. You know, he still makes $6, $7 million a year. And he's a 24-year-old ready-made guy. So I just think there's no planning. And that's coaches live in the present. Like, I understand the coaches wanting him and Cousins. The GM's job in football, this is not basketball where I get LeBron, if I can sign Jokic and Curry, I can play them all. A quarterback, you can only play one guy. And the benefit of having a rookie court like Caleb Williams is his contract for 4 years. So Michael Penix, it's just all out of whack. The other thing is, coming off the injury, like I would imagine they're going to really get on the field with the coaches in the next, I don't know, 20 days. Well, who's going to be taking the first team reps? It's not Cousins rehabbing the torn Achilles. It's Penix. So all of a sudden, Penix, their group also is not established veterans. It's young players. If I'm those young guys, it's like, what if he looks awesome, which he probably will in routes on air situations. So the locker room dynamics to me, it was no planning. And it's just like most people that I know in the NFL that, you know, playoff level teams are just like, we just feel like they just kind of freewheeling it.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It makes zero sense. And the other part to the Atlanta thing that's kind of alarming is, remember, this is the front office group that said they couldn't get along with Bill Belichick. This is also the front office group that screwed up other drafts as well. So it's like we're seeing a pattern here, right? Not that Bill Belichick is a great drafter or would have been great, but it's like, okay, you're fighting against a guy who's been far more successful than you have. It's fascinating. Okay, the team that you're like, that team gets it. They're killing it.
Well, I mean, the playoff teams are just well-run. you know, and they're not, they don't have the pick of the litter because they're all drafted in the 20s. I mean, I think every year the Ravens draft well. Obviously, the Chiefs needed a speed guy, and I would say Andy has a pretty good history with players like that. I don't even hate the Bills. Now, I understand trading with the Chiefs seems crazy, but I think they looked at it, and if you look at the next picks, no one was picking Xavier Worthy. The Ravens weren't. They took Zay Flowers last year. The Lions don't need him. The 49ers definitely weren't taking that player. So, not that he's not good. He's just not a Kyle Shanahan guy. So, he would have been there for the Chiefs at 32. So, I think the Bills went. I don't know if you saw the quotes from Keon Coleman. They had Josh Allen evaluate the group of, you know, the receivers that were in their range, and he was their number one guy. And I would imagine it's not like he wouldn't. I love Keon Coleman. The guy's really good. He's a big physical receiver. So to me, all the teams in the 20s, like the Eagles, I don't want to say they got lucky, but they got lucky in the sense that no, they desperately needed a corner, and no one picked the top corner in the draft, which is unheard of. And I said, I think we had talked about it. I talked about it with Colin. It's kind of rare when you look at this draft now. It's basically this, all the first-round picks are coming from all the top six or seven programs because they buy them all now. Right? A lot of them are transfer portal guys. Well, Nick Saban basically admitted on Thursday, you know, he never entered the transfer portal, but we kind of told him, enter the transfer portal and we'll come get you. So Saban wanted the dude from Toledo, and Howie Roseman just gets them at 22.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, the quarterbacks in terms of fit. We've talked about Jaden McDaniels a ton. We've obviously talked about Caleb Williams. The New England Patriots have themselves a new quarterback. How is this rookie quarterback different than Mac Jones? And the setup is...
Well, he's extremely the talent gap, right? If you just, from a physical standpoint, from an attribute standpoint, and obviously quarterback's about more than that, but he's in a different universe. So the other thing is, I think all these guys, basically four of the six, are going to be immediate starters, or maybe three of the six, right? Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. They're starting week one. Penix, if he would have been drafted by the Raiders or something, he also would have started week one, but he's in a unique situation. J.J. McCarthy and Drake May are kind of what you and I grew up on. Guys get drafted high, and they don't play right away, and those guys aren't going to be forced to play right away. Now, for J.J., because their team's pretty talented, they might be able to, like, legitimately not do it. The hard part for Drake May is going to be, is the fans have a lot of juice in the NFL. Because who listens to talk radio and reads all this stuff? Well, coaches claim they don't. They do. But the owner. And if the team is not good, and I got news for you, they're not going to be good, who's going to want to watch? In theory, play Jacoby all year. Well, that sounds great until you're 2-8. And it's like, let's just see what the other guy has. So it's the right pick from a talent standpoint. It's just a tough situation. And sometimes these developmental guys, historically, they get drafted to bad teams. And I've said over and over, and listen, I envied and admired everything the Patriots did for 20 years. But I think they're going to go through a rough spell, and this is not an easy spot for any young quarterback who needs a lot of work.
I want to ask you about the Chargers, okay? Now, yeah, obviously it's a team that I root for, not, you know, noted. But the
Now they got Jim Harbaugh. Like, I'm more of a Chiefs guy, but I'm going to root for the Chargers. I want to see the Chargers be good.
Okay, so the criticism of Greg Roman's offense was it wasn't evolved enough in the past game to win big in the playoffs. That was the criticism. Okay, now keep in mind, they won the MVP with that offense. Keep in mind, helped the Buffalo Bills go to the playoffs with that offense. Keep in mind that the San Francisco 49ers went to the Super Bowl with that offense. If that offense takes the Chargers deep into the playoffs eventually, isn't that an indictment on Lamar?
Well, think about the two guys Greg Roman got fired for was Kaepernick and Lamar. And neither guy was, I mean, Lamar's way better than Kaepernick. But they both, I mean, Lamar actually I think has made great strides, but it came back to fruition in the game against the Chiefs where he just – he kind of melted. I mean, that was an awful game. I think Greg Roman's pretty good. You know who else thinks he's pretty good? Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. You know he's got a pretty good history of knowing who's a good coach, assistant-wise? Jim Harbaugh. So, yeah, I'm with you. I expect – you and I have been saying for a month, this team is going big heavy. He was never ever. Maybe if, like, a Julio Jones. Marvin Harrison's a really good prospect, but he's not like Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson prospect. If that guy would have been there, now, he wouldn't have been there because the Cardinals would have taken him, but let's just say that type player, maybe Jim would have had to think, but I don't think he had to think, even if Marvin Harrison was sitting on the board. And even he admitted it, the way they build their program. They're going to run the ball. I think for the first time, what's going to be interesting with Jim and Roman is this the best quarterback by far they've had, right, probably since Luck at Stanford. But even then, Stanford played that way. Now, the personnel, I would say, I would imagine over time they're going to have better weapons. Like, if I say 3 years from now, right, you would imagine they have better weapons they're going to have this year. And their offense will be more passing dynamic. But early on, and I think at his core, like, Jim wants to play 1988 football. Like, he's going to play, you know, Mike Ditka or Buddy Ryan or, you know, Joe Gibbs. Like, he was born to coach then. And the one thing Jim knows, it works. Like, it worked then, and it still works now because the way he builds it and the emphasis he puts on the front. And I don't blame him for making the move. Now, it's a little tricky because Alt's never played right tackle. Now, I'm not saying he can't, but you've talked to enough players. Like, some guys, the footwork's a little different. Now, Slater could go over there, but if you're Slater, like, left tackles make a little more. Now, right tackles have made a lot of money, I would say, over the last 5 years, so it might not matter. You know, you just saw Penei Sewell get a huge contract. So, ultimately, if Slater's more comfortable over there, he'll still get $100 million or whatever. But I think they made the right move, and I'm with you. I expect Greg Roman and I expect the Chargers to be – we'll have to see. I mean, they're kind of dependent on Mac and Bosa. Like, they're going to need those guys healthy to me to be like a 10-plus win team, but they're going to be competitive immediately.
They are going to be competitive immediately. I think it's interesting. The what they do with the tackles, I mean, that is a first-world problem. But supposedly Joe Alt didn't want to play right tackle at Notre Dame at all, even when he had opportunities early in his career to do so. That part is fascinating.
You know, one thing, Doug, I think if we could do a redo of free agency, and I don't blame the Raiders for not doing this, but where we sit now, I think it's pretty clear. All that money the Raiders gave to Wilkins, the D-tackle, and all the money that the Falcons gave to Cousins, they just would have flip-flopped those two moves. Because the Raiders had a good draft, but it's hard to be, you know, competitive, especially in a division with Harbaugh and Herbert and Andy and Mahomes when your quarterback is Gardner Minshew.
Well, the other part about the Raiders is they've had so many GMs and so much turnover that it's like, I mean, I remember when you shop for houses when you moved, right? Where yeah. You're like, wait a second, this is weird. Like, well, one builder ran out of money and then the next builder, and then there's a design change. And then you're like, it's a nice house, but it just doesn't all kind of work together. That's what the Raiders remind me of.
As long as the owner's cool with, like, taking a deep breath, knowing you're making some progress, but we've seen weird quarterback situations. I don't care how many good players you have at different positions, and they do. Like, it's not inconceivable you win 6-7 games, right?
A sneaky pick that you really, really like. You're like, man, this one's one I like that not a lot of people are talking about.
Well, I think Latu, the defensive end from UCLA, was the best, most polished defensive player in this draft, especially at end. And it's very, very rare for the top pass rusher to make it out of the top 10. Hell, most years, even with quarterbacks, that guy goes like pick 2 or 3 at the latest. Now, I don't know if this guy was quite like Myles Garrett or Nick Bosa, but his main question was his neck, which is a fair question. A doctor told him, you can never play football again. Now, a different doctor cleared him, and then for 2 years, he had like almost 25 sacks. And people, I know they look at UCLA, Chip Kelly, they were kind of a defensive team the last couple years. So to get him at pick 15, and even Chris Ballard's like, yeah, he was our top defensive player. So a lot of teams in the late teens and going to Howie at 22 really benefited from all those offensive players going high, and it pushed down all these top defensive players, which would never be there in most drafts, you know, in the team. So really that stretch of defensive players. Like, I like what the Rams did a lot. Anytime Aaron Donald retires a player of that caliber, you're no different than, like, Kelsey. You can never replace them. But when you can go into a draft and get two immediate players that are power, physical players, I don't think those two guys equal Aaron Donald, but it's a pretty good start. And I got a good buddy that kind of runs the personnel at Florida State. I'm like, what's up with this dude the Rams drafted? You know, because they traded up. They gave an extra second-round pick to get the defensive tackle from Florida State in the top 40. And he's like, think Max Crosby at defensive tackle. Just crazy high effort and obviously a really good player. He played on one of the best defenses. So you get him and his teammate. I think the Rams kind of elevated from being like the sexy wild card team to, you know, I think they're going to be right there with the Niners. It's like 11-12 win team.
John Middlecoff, Three and Outs, the podcast. Download on the Volume Podcast Network. Johnny, the best, man. Thanks for joining us.
See you, Doug.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yep. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Theodore Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we hook up with our guy Dan Beyer and we play a game. Let's get to game time.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Danny, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Rank 'em.
Doug, rank your top three most impressive things that you've seen in the NBA playoffs so far.
Okay, number three is going to be... Number three, number three is going to be the Denver Nuggets. You know, the ability to come from behind in every game, pretty impressive. Just find ways to win games. Nuggets at three. At two, we talked about them a lot, I think, yesterday, right? Because of the dunk. Anthony Edwards has just been so incredibly impressive. And number one, Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, I know the Pelicans weren't healthy without, but it's here's a young team, an inexperienced team, But I love that their coach said, like, there's a difference between inexperienced and immature. We're just inexperienced. They played mature beyond their years. Loaded team, going to be a problem for years to come. I think they've been the most impressive thing in the playoffs.
All right, Doug, rank the top three places where LeBron James should end his career.
I think Miami, Cleveland, and L.A. in that order. Miami 3, Cleveland 2, L.A. 1.
All right. Moving on to the NFL. Doug, the top three people that you associate when we talk about NFL pregame shows. So who are the names that come to mind when you think about NFL pregame shows?
It's a great question. I mean, I kind of think the Fox guys are the ones that are synonymous with this thing, aren't they? Part of it is, you know, Fox has always had the NFC. More people watch the NFC. They're in bigger markets, whatever. But Jerry Jimmy and either Strahan or Howie, like those guys. So I go Howie at 3, Jimmy at 2, and Terry Bradshaw 1.
Wow.
You said recognizable.
Yeah, or just, yeah, who you associate. I'm just curious, does anybody else, because I have thoughts on this as well, and I don't disagree. I had Terry Bradshaw at number 2, and I was deciding at number 3 on would it be Jimmy the Greek or would it be Howie Long? And that made my number 1 be Brent Musburger.
Well, the problem with Brent is you are like me. You have a great memory for the history of the CBS Today, CBS show. But it's been a long time since those guys were together. And Jimmy the Greek, I mean, the downfall of him after his comments was so rapid. So I think they paved the way for all the guys today. And in many ways, those shows were better than they are now. Now they're just kind of yuck fest or whatever, and they have pre-produced pieces. But I think it's interesting. I would guess Sam has no idea who Jimmy the Greek is.
That's false.
Okay. Did you know that Brent Musburger used to host?
I didn't know that, but I know Musburger has long been a betting guy, well before he got popular.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with betting. He was the host of the NFL Today.
Brent Nerve.
It was Brent Nerve and Jimmy the Greek.
Now, and there was a woman too, right? Didn't they have a woman on the show?
Yeah, Phyllis George.
Yeah, Phyllis George.
I just remember of all the boring, vanilla, untrue things in that Matty Ice release yesterday, him saying that he grew up watching CBS This Morning, I thought was a blatant lie. Like, nobody actually watches CBS This Morning, right?
Or the NFL Today. Is that what he...
Same thing.
Yeah. Yes. Because my wife does watch CBS This Morning with Jane Pauley now as the host. And that's where we got in our Steve Hartman argument. All right. Finally, Doug, rank your top three sporting events you'd least like to attend. You asked for this yesterday. So I expect that you have three answers lined up.
I have a lot of answers that I'd least like to attend. How big do these sporting events need to be?
I don't know, Doug. It's your question.
Midweek NHL game at 3, like midweek nondescript NHL game at 3. Bowling they get into it at bowling, but can you imagine buying a ticket? And number 1 is the NFL draft. Just jersey guy, I know more than everybody guy, I'm so fired up to be here guy, pride in our city guy and our team. They're all there. NFL draft is 1.
And that's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game's time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, coming up on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Maybe you haven't noticed, but the rest of us have, who's not going to be playing from now on in the NBA playoffs. What does that mean? We're at that seminal moment. That who's next is now who's now. We'll discuss next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.